that begins Matara Gedola Zu. I don't know whether it is on your sheet, but that's where we're starting. If you want to look in, whatever it is, that could be great. Okay, Matara Gedola Zu Lano. This great goal that we have, Lelichpos Oscha Shetelech B'derech Hashem Bal Karchocha. You got to realize that the goal over here is not to force you to walk in the Derech Hashem against your will. The point is not to like make you do something you don't want to do. Again, last week we spoke about the idea of having all the different goals, about the Shechina shining from your face, and a person having a natural disposition to want to do Avodas Hashem, and so on and so forth. The point is not to like make you do stuff. And the goal really is that we want that you yourself should have a ratzon, should have a desire, an interest in following in that particular path on your own. This should be something that's coming from you, internal. Because it's not enough that you're going to do good things, a very, very important line, not enough that you're going to do things that are good. We really want, as I explained, is that you yourself not should be doing a good thing, but should become or should be somebody that's good. That's a much, much different kind of an outlook. And the chiluk, and if you stop and think about it, again, we're not going to elaborate right that much now, but the chiluk between having a situation where you can have a person who, and it's really what we just said, to have a person who can be doing all the right things, he can be mekayim, even in theory, tayyeg mitzvahs, be doing it all, but yet the person himself might not really be a... Now, when I say good person, I don't just mean in terms of, is he a nice guy or not a nice guy? But good meaning to say, is he totally connected? Is he totally in line, in sync with what the Torah wants from him? So you can be a tefillin wearing, tzitzis wearing, lulav shaking, Hanukkah candle lighting, kosher eating human being, and a maybe even a Baal Chesed and all of that, but still not yet really be that person that the Torah says, this is what I want from you. So says the Rebbe over here, the job and the task that we're going to lay out for ourselves in the Sefer is not just to have someone who's a functioning, behaving Jew. That's not it. But rather that next stage, that the person should become something different. And this is what we call a bad word. We don't always like to say this, but we're going to say it out loud now because it's an important goal, and that's called change, development. The person should be different than he was from before. The Kevich is those he, Iker Kavanaseno. And since that's my main goal, that becoming somebody good. Therefore, part of the job is going to be to not let you keep on or maintain any remnant of any spark of a thought or a desire that's not good and not proper within the line of what the Torah Kedosh wants. And we're going to be forced to try to get into your mind and your heart a little bit, straighten out your thoughts, your ratzon, elevate them so that the person can develop eventually, over time, into this amazing guy that the Torah would like of us in these teenage years that we're holding in, if we recall, as we discussed last week. And since I know that you're still probably questioning what I just said, you're still probably a little bit doubtful. You're probably asking a question inside of yourself, saying, how is it possible that from me, this guy right over here, and not only that, but when I'm a teenager right now, Yes, Ishayut Gedolah Kolkach is going to be such a great personality. I'm going to be this cherished, beloved child of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like he's telling me I can become right now here in my position. My father wasn't like that. My grandfather wasn't like that. Like I'm ani be'atzmi nar pasha tineni, and I myself am just a regular simple guy. A fair question. Well, why would you think that I'm all of a sudden going to become like the greatest person that's out there in the world? Maybe if my last name was something, whatever it was, came from this family, but me? What do you want from me? And therefore, even that machshava akuma, even that krum, that crooked thought, It we're not allowed to leave inside of you. You're going to have to work on that attitude, that feeling, that disbelief that's there also. Again, just to pause, once again, referring back to Thursday Thursday discussion or the program about Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel. As many times as you're going to hear somebody say, Rav Nosson Zvi came from the exact same background as you did, and blah, 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 and with hard work and this and that. I'm saying this like without even a suffer. Guaranteed that every single one of us, to some degree, says, yeah, but like that's nice, but, right? This, that, and the next thing. Even when you look at somebody in the eyes who came from there and rose to like this like crazy position in the world of Torah and greatness and Avodas Hashem like that, and okay, yeah, he did it. The people pose the question, so why can't I? Why can't you? We have a tendency to look at ourselves and whatever the defense mechanism is and say like, okay, that was nice, but this, that, and the next thing. Rav Scheinberg came from Pablo Skolnader. Rav Gifter came from... All of it, we have excuses why all of these great Gedolei Yisrael were different than us, and that was then, and this is something. A lot of us just don't really, really believe that we can do that. And perhaps, let's suggest, which is why we're speaking about this right now, why it comes up in the Sefer right now, that very thought is so poisonous, is so problematic, and it can do such a major... destructive job of holding us back and not allowing us to get where we can actually get to, but that's something that also needs to be addressed. A person has to start to think a little bit more and how much I can actually legitimately believe in myself and therefore give myself a chance to be able to flourish, blossom, and grow the way that I possibly can. You got what I did? Yeah? Got the idea? Daring question over here, like no recorders can like see the following thing. We're not videoing anything right now, but quick show of hands, is there like, and not a video though, is there like, did what I just say like ring true? Did like any one of us like stop and hear these things and say, yeah, but, yeah, is it the most obvious thing in the world? Oh, I saw an interesting video and I met his brother and this and that, and now I know that I can be the next generation's goal and I'm going to do that. There you go, superstar. Okay, for the rest of us though, we're not holding on that level. Certainly myself, I have to admit also, I also think the same things at times. And and it's a problem. Devar Hashem Eilecha Na Yisro Aseh Oznecha Kefarcheses Lishmoa Es Tshuva Savicha Shebeshamayim Lecha. So he says, I want you, my friend, you teenagers out there, to listen to the Devar Hashem for a minute. What was Hashem's answer to you? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself say back to that comment? I'm just going to retranslate some of the words. I say, Oznecha Kefarcheses, make your ears like a sieve. A sieve is like a sifter, has a little holes in it. In other words, like let this sink into your head over here, what the answer that Hashem gave. Asher Som Befi Neviyav Chachama V'Toros HaKadosha. He gave us an answer, an explanation, a response to that feeling through the mouths of the Neviyim and the Chachamim in the Torah. Anachnu rak nilakid echa le'echad as devar v'hakidoshim kelahavos eishe lecho. I'm just going to try to collect one by one the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are like these pillars of fire and suggest to you, think about this, think about that. Laman tischazik mehiasos eres me'arzei levana shanata Hashem. That you should be able to strengthen yourself to become one of the cedars of Lebanon that Hashem planted in this world, and the great, strong, massive, stalwart members of Klal Yisrael. So let's talk a little bit about that attitude and the feeling of, well, who am I and what can I actually expect to become of myself? Im nafa libecha bekir b'cha mipnei she'avicha v'avi avicha rak anashim pshutim hayu. So let's say a person has this feeling, okay, whether it's real or just like a defense mechanism inside his mind, that I get down on myself and I say, listen, my father, grandfather, they were regular people. I don't come from the family of Gedolei Yisrael. Had my father's name been Chazon Ish and I was Ish Junior, so then maybe I would have been some great massive something. But me, I grew up in blank place in this country, whatever it was. I grew up in America, not in Eretz Yisrael. I grew up in here, and not in the etc. 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 So if that's like a feeling we have, like where do I come from? And like I don't have any Gedolei Yisrael that I'm cousins or related to or whatever it is. So Hagbe is Atzmacha Od Lamayla Mehem. Let's pick ourselves up a little bit past them, a little bit further than them. V'stakel od yosir mirachal. Let's look a little further back. We want to try to see who we are. Mi hoyu avosecha me'az. Who are our ancestors as Jews? Where do we come from? Hakadoshim, hanaviim, hatanoim, haamorayim, hagaonim, had tzaddikim, a long list of all like beautiful people, beautiful members of Klal Yisrael. There was a time when, if we trace ourselves back, so one of my ancestors was from the times of the Amorayim, the Tanayim, one of the Gaonim, some tzaddikim that were back there. Why is it important for me to realize? Your person can say, that's all nice, but that was like 500 generations ago. I'm related to Avraham Avinu. Oh, that's cute. Okay, he was great. I can bring it. That was like a long, that was a long time. That was a long time back. It sounds sometimes like petty talk, but he points out the following. These are fascinating things. In a very esoteric Masechta of Gemara, unknown to many, called Psachim, the Gemara points out on the Samach Vav the following thing. Ah, we can actually read it inside if you want. The Gemara points out about this right over the beginning of the sixth, by the fifth parak. Hold on a sec. Now we get open the Gemara. The embarrassed that I forgot that, so let's double check. Yeah, beginning of the sixth parak. So the Gemara points out a fascinating fascinating thing. I'll tell you the sugya of the Gemara also, but I just want to read the words first. Yisrael im ein neviim hein b'nei neviim hein. Okay, what does the Gemara say? Jews, if they're not really neviim, they're b'nei neviim. So we have a Gemara next door. So let's read the Gemara over here. The Gemara has a suffix. The shaila in the Gemara is like this. A whole fascinating sugya in the Gemara. Long, I want to stop in like a starting like just whatever in the middle here. So let's okay. The Amr the Rabbeinu Shachar for the heavy sakim erev Shabbos mat. Well, Shaila was asked in the base matter. I'm leaving out a lot of. There's a whole long hemshchik for the Gemara. If the Jews or a Jew forget when Pesach falls out. On Shabbos, Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, and your makriv a Korban Pesach on Shabbos, right? We know the Korban Pesach is Docha Shabbos. You forgot to bring a knife to the Beis HaMikdash to shech the Korban Pesach. So they look around, they check the closets, and the cupboards are bare. Lots of spoons, lots of forks, knives to the Shechita or the Korban Pesach. Somehow or another, we are out. Okay? Okay. Mahu, what's the halacha? Can you carry a knife from your home in Yerushalayim or whatever it is in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to the base of Mikdash, the Shech, the Garim Pesach. Omer lem halachuzu shamati v'shachachti. You know what? I heard the halach. I know you learned that. V'shachachti. And I forgot what the din is. So, right, we've had that. I know that. I learned that sugi. Yeah, I also learned Pesachim. But v'shachachti, I forgot. And I forgot to do like the Chazar sheets. I didn't, whatever. I can't tell you what the din is. So what are we supposed to do? Okay, and listen carefully to what the Pesach was. If you look through the sugi, then this is a real shaila. This happened in Klal Yisrael's history. Ella, so rather, the Gemara says the following thing. What happens, what do you do when there's no knives in the base of Mikdash? And the sheep are there, bang away, whatever sheep do, bad, bad, that kind of stuff. It's Erev Pesach, the clock is ticking. What are we supposed to do? No knives in the base of Mikdash. We ask the Rav, Gadol Hador, I don't remember. Whoops, okay. So what do you do? This is called up the creek without a paddle, right? Like, what are we supposed to do now? Hanach lehem Yisrael. Says the Gemara, let the Jews be. Im ein neviim heim, b'nei neviim. If they themselves are not actually neviim, but they're b'nei neviim. In other words, what they were instructed to do was, we're not going to give a psak halacha. What we're going to do is look the other way. And we're going to see, what do people do? Everyone's going to wake up and do something. Some, are they going to bring knives with them or not bring knives with them? And they're going to figure out what the right thing to do is, because ein neviim ein b'nei neviim. They're just the children, descendants of neviim. L'machar, the next morning, misha pischo tlet tokho b'tzimro, misha pischo gedit tokho b'nkarnov. The next day, what did they do? People figured out a way to stick the knife into either the wool of the sheep, in between the horns of the goat, and the animal carried the knife on its back, on their backs to the base of Mikdash, and that was the Ra'a Maisa V'Nizkar Halacha, that was seen, and now we remember the Halacha, V'Amar Kach Mekublani V'Beis Shemaya V'Avtalio. That's what I learned from my Rebbeim, Shemaya V'Avtalio. That's the end of the Sugi Gemara. So let's now talk about what we just read over here. The Gemara says something fascinating. There's a halacha, Hilchos Shabbos. There's a mutter, aser, to carry the knife out in the street on Shabbos. You're talking about a shaylah of a possible isur d'oraisa, right? A very, very severe kind of a thing. We don't remember what the halacha is. There's no one to turn to. You turn to the Gadol Hador, and he admits in an unbelievable act of humility, I forget. That can happen even to me. That can happen. What are we supposed to do? Says the Gemara, Hanach lehem liyisol. Not let's open up the Mishnah Berurah again. Not let's try to figure out. I can't give you an answer, but they're going to get it right. The Jews, whatever they do, they're gonna know, have it inside of themselves to figure out what to do. Why? They might not be Nevi'im, right? God didn't tell them, hey, bud, you're supposed to be doing X, Y, and Z with the knife. But because they are what the Gemara calls B'nai Nevi'im, hey, they're the descendants, the children of the Nevi'im, they have it within them, somewhere inside, to do the right, and that's what's going to happen. They're going to do the right thing. And then, as the Gemara tells the story, right, they figured out the system, put the knife in the back of the animal, in the wool, that was talking about the Talmud. That was the halacha. Says the Chovas HaTalmid. Let's read inside. Lo dover shahaya mikvar ukvar avaru. That statement of the Gemara was not something that used to be then. That's already passed and done with. Ragam ata omeres haGemara nitzas avasecha neviim bechar avachol nar Yisrael nimtza. The Gemara tells us a cloud. Inside of you and inside of every one of your friends, every other Jewish teenager that's out there, there's a nitzo, it's a spark of nevuah. What your job is going to do, is to dig after that particular spark, try to reveal it, try to find where that is, where do I have that nitzo of the nevi'im inside of me, let it come out to be the big person that it actually can be. But the Gemara here was willing, right, to the incredible act of Russian roulette, or we don't play around with the Hilchos Shabbos, but yet the Gemara says, we trust you so much that we know that when there's no choice, right, we couldn't offer a psak halacha, we rely on the ruler, b'nei nevi'im. They're gonna know what to do. They have it inside. They're going to feel. Now, it's really an unbelievable thing. That's that idea of B'nai Nevi'im. Now let's explain a little bit more what that means. What that means that the Jews are considered B'nai Nevi'im. So we'll talk about a little mashal over here. Okay? The following thing. And why it's so important for us to remember what that idea of being B'nai Nevi'im is all about. If I'm going to ask you, Daniel, you ready? Very quickly, don't think all that much. Okay? Can you do that? Okay, good practice. Okay, good. But I think also, if you have to very quickly describe to me, depict for me a verbal picture of what a Talmid Chacham looks like. Huh? What do they look like? Yeah, what are they like? Long beard, okay. Not sure, so I'm out already. Yeah, next. Long beard, what else? I mean, Muslim clerics are known to have long beards also. Right, so not all are Talmid Chacham. What else? What? A Bekisha, okay. Interesting. Yeah, what else? We can turn this over to the rest of the group. Talmid Chacham, let's go. Saber in front of him. Huh?
Hat.
Some might say a hat. Huh? Over his Bekisha. Suit, hand over Bekisha. Okay, what else? Huh? They're also racist. A white shirt, okay.
Wait, this is just an outward description?
What was that?
An outward description? Or?
Insight, you can go to biology class. Yeah, you got the little blood vessels, the thing. Yeah. Outward description, that's what we're doing. Yeah. Yeah, okay, Solomon, take it away. I want to hear a good Sephardi Talmid Chacham. What do we got?
Huh?
I just wonder what are you associating when you think about what a Talmid Chacham looks like? How many of us have walked down the street and seen some kind of people and thought, hey, that might be a Talmid Chacham, and other people walk by and we don't suspect them of that crime of being a Talmid Chacham?
Yeah.
Has that ever happened before? Right? What on a bus floating around the Yerushalayim makes you think, hey, that might be a Talmid Chacham, and somehow or another, sometimes other people you don't say, oh, that's probably a Talmid Chacham there.
It's more
more of
how he acts. The way they act, not the way they look.
You feel
It's the way that they act.
It's the way they dress, the way they...
No, because a lot of people dress the same way. So it's how, so when you watch somebody and say...
You can't be allowed to tell me.
No.
Huh?
It's like two people around them.
Gabriel Malkiel,
the way you see other people.
So let's pause now for a second. Hold that thought. If I ask you, this is going to be a little more tricky now, to describe to me what a Navi looks like. Now let's go. J-Way, take it away. Navi. I know you've never met one, but when you do meet one, he's going to look like what?
Having a seizure.
Huh?
Having a seizure.
Having a seizure, shaking, okay. What else? Navi?
Like a tongue.
Huh? Okay, we haven't figured that one out yet. Let's go for Navi, huh?
Long robe.
Long robe, okay. Color?
Turban. No, white.
Huh? White. You're going to go for white. A long white robe, okay.
We don't have any way of knowing.
Yeah, well, we do. I'm asking you to describe what you think a Navi would look like.
Navi would look like a regular person.
Like a regular person. That's not what you think when you live in Navi. Forget what Yetzer, you don't know. What does a Navi look like?
Staff.
Staff. Okay. One word. 21st century.
Dumbledore.
What does a Navi look like?
Gandalf.
What was that? Hey, what's the difference now when you think of a Navi, white robe, longer beard, turban, staff, and you think of it, whatever you said that a Tamil Chol, what's the difference?
Old-fashioned,
like, they're going to be the beam today also. What?
On the way of relating to Navi, except for how we think people were 2,000 years ago.
So that everyone, so if I asked what the garbage man looked like, you'd also tell me long thing, staff, white robe, and like that?
I'll tell you what he looks like now.
Huh?
I'll tell you what he looks like now.
So what does the Navi look like?
Yeah, I can only relate to what we think they look like back then.
But is that really true? The reason why you drew up that picture... The shaking part, I guess, is like universal. That's gonna like shake through time. But what was that?
That's how I was told people had nevuahs.
Okay, no, good. I'm not saying it's wrong. That's fair enough. But why do we do? It's not just a matter of nevi'im or then and talmid chacham or today. Why do we do that?
Whatever.
It's an obvious answer. Stop and let's think for a little bit. What do we automatically associate with when we speak about a Navi?
So Navi's not supposed to be grounded to this world. It's supposed to be different.
We're thinking that a Navi, somehow or another, we talk about things that we might associate with, like spiritual Navi's like that and whatever it is, and Talmud Chacham is more keyer in this world. It's something like that, scholarly type, and whatever you want to call it. But usually that's the divide. I can't say that everyone always thinks like that, but that's oftentimes the divide. When a person wants to grow to his height in Avodas Hashem, and the Gemara tells us that part of what we want to realize about ourselves is this idea of being B'nai Nevi'im. That's the title that Chazal gives to Jews in this world, the B'nai Nevi'im. The Gemara is pointing out that there is a part of us, that there is a side of us that the truth is, like, has that little bit of that like spiritual ruchnia, somehow or another, like a connection to something beyond things that we're always comfortable with and always familiar with in this world. And that idea of being a Ben Navi, I have that also. That's something that's there inside of me. I could also be somebody who has a bit inside of my being, inside of my makeup, somebody who has that kind of a connection to the entire world of Ruchni. It's not just on a scholarly level. I don't just have like nice, you know, round wire-framed glasses with a pipe and a bow tie and say, oh, now I... whatever it is, Eureka, but the person who is a Ben Navi has an ability to be that, obviously to be a Talmud Chacham, and obviously to be steeped in a Limud Torah, but also to have that, we'll call it that edge, that something more than we might all be familiar with. And that idea, like when a person says, well, who am I, where am I coming from? And I know that Chazal tell me, no, you are somebody who's very, very special. You're somebody that the Chazal felt comfortable saying, oh, B'nai Nevi'im. That's what the Jews are all about. That's a massive what do you call it, massive stamp of approval that Chazal just gave us over here. That Gemara is talking about Miyan, which is what it's doing, that the Gemara, the Piske Halacha, are for all eternity. That's a major, major statement that the Gemara had just made. Now, like we pointed out, Alech Rak, Lachbar Acharav Galos Chabekirbuchu, we have a job to dig deep, to try to reveal, to try to get connected with our real selves, and start to work. Just hold off just for a couple of minutes. I want to just make sure we get to a good stopping point here. V'lom is it titame b'chal leimor. Now, why is it that sometimes you wonder inside of yourself, and you say, shekeven she'en eta margish b'chal shum yeseres mishar hane'arim. If you say to yourself, well, if you don't feel any advantage, you don't feel any one-up over other teenagers, over other friends that you have, e'ef she'shetalet tizgadel. And he said, listen, if I don't really feel that I'm different than anyone else, I can look around the dorm, I look around the basement, and I'm like, you know, okay, like I'm just one of the guys, and we have in our minds this feeling, well, therefore I shouldn't be able to, or I can't elevate myself, grow, be mekadesh myself in this world. We associate ourselves, and he's asking this as a question, and I'm saying it as a statement, we associate ourselves, and we put ourselves in a context of what I think everyone around me is like. If we're all like this, so then, like, why are you asking me to be different? Why are you asking me to be somebody above and beyond whatever everyone else is doing in the world? But the problem with that thought is, ha'im gam es etzem sharhan arim atamakir. But the mistake you're making, as we ask a question, do you really know the essence and inner being of all of those other friends that you have sitting around you either? Do you really know the insides of the other Na'ari Yisrael, the other Bachraman, Talmidim that are around you? That you don't. Sit back and listen to the words of a Chazal and a Medrash and be amazed, be floored by so many Chazal that Chazal have taught us. In other words, if your yardstick for why you're going to hold yourself back is because I'm regular, just like everybody else, so remind yourself that there ain't no such thing as regular, just like everybody else, because you're making a very, very, very big mistake about the company of the people that you find yourself with. The Medrash says as follows, at the beginning of Megillas Eicha, Amr Rabbi Yochanan bo re'e kama chavivin tinokos lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, come and see how precious the tinokos, which means the tamidim, people learning the yeshivos, are in front of Hashem. How do we see that? Golsa Sanhedrin me Yerushalayim velo golsa shchina imahem. The Sanhedrin was sent into Golas, asked to leave the Beis HaMikdash. Again, this is in the beginning of Eicha, the time of the Churban. And the shchina didn't go. The shchina stayed in Yerushalayim. Golu mishmaros kahanim ulevim velo golsa shchina imahem. The Kohanim and Leviim sent into exile. The Shechina stays back in Yerushalayim. But Kevin Shegolo Tinokos goes to Shechina Imayim. But once the Tinokos, once the Talmidim went into Golas, the Shechina says, that's it. I'm going into Golas also. He points out in the note, they wrote on the bottom, that this idea we said before, that the phrase Tinokos in Chazal means the Tinokos Shebeis Rabban, people that are learning in yeshivas, and making a quote to these sources for that. But kolkach yikarim im etzal kadosh baruch hu na'ari yisrael shalom din Torah. So dear to Hashem are those teenagers that are sitting and learning Torah. Sanhedrin galu gama kohanim v'halavim v'lo galsa shchina imayim. The Sanhedrin went into Galus. The kohanim and levim are all leaving Yerushalayim. And you would think that all these great people, that's the Sanhedrin who are the great accomplished Talmidei Chachamim, and the kohanim and levim that are serving in the Beis Hamikdash. You would think if they're out of here, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is gonna pack up his bags and go with them. Those are his buddies. Those are his friends. And if they're leaving, so I don't want to be around either. What do I have to do here by myself? But the Shechina stayed in Yerushalayim. Kishagolu atinokos omra shchina kol kach kshura ani bahem. And when the Talmidim left Yerushalayim, the Shechina says, I'm so connected, I'm so tied to them, I can't remain here in Yerushalayim alone without them. Yachad imayim ani es ol hagolos alay mekabel. And now I'm going to just accept upon myself the yoke of this golos, ukevyoch imayim yachad betzara es ana. And I'm going to now suffer the same sorrows that they're going to go through. There's nothing left for me in Yerushalayim once the Tinoko Shobez Rabba, once the Talmidim in Yeshivos excuse me, are leaving and are going out of Yerushalayim. And a person stops and says, that's an amazing thing. The tinokos, and the truth is it really is amazing, right? The talmidim are the ones who haven't yet made it in life. The Kohanim, Levim, Sanhedrin, those are the people that we would think are up, so much more advanced, so much further down the line. And in that category, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what, I can survive here alone when they go into Galus. Talmidim and Yeshiva, Bachram that are sitting and learning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that those are my best friends. Those are the ones that I want to be with. Again, why that's true, we're going to talk as we go on. But just to understand how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at those of us who are sitting first year, second year, etc., in yeshivas and learning, that the Ribbono Shel Olam himself puts us on this incredibly high pedestal and says, these are my people here in this world. These are my best friends. These are the people I want to be connected with. These are the people that I want to remain with. That says a lot about who we are. So when I look at myself and say, why would anyone think that I can become great? I'm just a regular guy like everybody else around me. Stop yourself and remind yourself, well, wait a second, right? It would be nice to boost our egos personally right now, but let's remember, not only is it true for you, but it's also true for everybody else. You know what? You're sitting in company of people that are really much greater and have much more potential than you yourself actually realize. Again, it will be great if we could all raise ourselves to great heights. But even if that doesn't happen, that's not an excuse for me saying, me personally, I'm so nothing that I can't possibly, it's just not true. And if you yourself don't really understand what it is that I'm saying, well, Shema Na is Dibra Yeshaya Hanavi. Let me refer you to a pasuk in Yeshaya Hanavi, Perek He. The Navi writes like this: Kikerem Hashem Tzavakos Beis Yisrael V'ish Yehuda Neta Shashuach. The pasuk reads: Kerem Hashem Tzavakos Beis Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, Beis Yisrael, is called the Kerem, the vineyard of Hashem. The vineyard has like a lot of vines. Vineyard, right? A lot of vines and grapes in there. The Ish Yehuda Neta Sheshua. And the individual, the Ish Yehuda, the Jewish guy, Neta Sheshua, he's the precious vine that's there in that vineyard. In other words, there's the vineyard, the whole field, so to speak, and then Ish Yehuda is the, what do you call it, is the particular singular vine that's there. Kol Beis Yisrael the Kerem Shel Hashem, the entire Klai, so that's Hashem's Kerem in this world. The Ish Yisrael HaPrati, and the individual Jew, Eitz Yakor, who is a very cherished, very precious tree, Shashem Mishtashei Abod, that Hashem plays with and enjoys. Im Rak Holech B'Darko, if that person is willing to walk in the Derech of Hashem, Derech HaTorah. V'gam Ata Nar Yisrael Sorek Katan, and you, who's still a young teenager, are a small little sapling, a little branch that's there, that's beginning to grow. Kishonu medabrim ato eilecha. And when I'm speaking to you right now, ein onu yodim emi medabrim. I don't really know who I'm speaking to. Right? I'm talking to you, I'm writing a sefer, I'm talking to you. I don't really know who I'm talking to. I never met you, probably never will meet you, etc. It's amazing, could come soon, but right now, I haven't met you. Ve'af ato lo seida mi ato umi umachiti yeshiti tigdal ba'avodaso uvitoraso. But here's the key, he says. I don't know who you are, but the greater truth is that you don't know who you are. You have no idea who you could become and what you could develop into if you start to grow in Avodas Hashem, in Limud HaTorah. You have no idea. Im tzadik v'gaon asher shimcha yelech mikitzei ha'olam v'ad katzeu. Could you be that tzadik or gaon whose name travels from one end of the world to the next? Or filo asher oved Hashem muflag v'torah v'yiro batzdaka gadol tov v'shamayim v'tov v'brios. Or you could be that incredibly wealthy gevir who's, again, learned in Torah and Yerushamayim, a big batzdaka, good for Shamayim, good for the people in this world. Asher tiferes la'am Yisrael kulo tia. That person can be a praise and a beauty, a glorious person in all of Klal Yisrael. V'kol av v'ein v'chol yizbaruch v'leimer, every parent. I bless their children and say to their children, Yisimcha Elohim kazeh, God should only make you like that guy who's there. Any single person could be somebody. We've heard from so many about, so many Gedol Yisrael, that when they're younger, we didn't see any particular advantage, anyone up over any of their friends. But when they devoted themselves and dedicated themselves to Hashem's avoda, gadolu, they grew, hitzlichum, are successful, v'ad lanetzach barosh am Yisrael kulo nisharu. And for all eternity, they're standing at the heights of Klai Yisrael, b'tzel terasim v'avarasim kol beis Yisrael yechisoyin. All of Klai Yisrael is basking in the shade of their Torah and avoda. And until the Melech HaMashiach comes, we're traveling and going in their light. Again, example, right? We just coming back to Thursday night, one, can't say last time, but certainly one more time, right? Someone like the great Mirashi, where it doesn't speak Finkel, right? It's certainly obvious to all what the impact that he had on the world and in the Torah community, etc. Again, it's not just because the Mir Yeshiva was so big and so massive and like that, but someone who accomplished so much despite all those difficulties that he had. What an incredible message to everybody, to become someone who's recognized as one of the Gedolei Yisrael. You heard from high school friends, and again, we're not speaking about stories from yeshivas in Eastern Europe. We're talking about a DVD of people that are alive today talking about, I was in high school, and they showed the picture of the yearbook on the thing, ambition, and what did it say? You know, read as quick as I did?
Tried.
Undecided. Huh? Undecided. Graduating high school, what do you want to do with your life? I don't know. How many of us could use that? What do you want to do? I don't know. Right? And yet, that I don't know became, right, the Gadol B'Yisrael. Not when he was 2 years old, he was learning 75 hours per day, and would nonstop, and whatever it was, and like that. No, he didn't finish Shas when he was 3. He might not even spell Shas when he was 3 years old. And at high school, it wasn't happening either. Someone who knew him, I know his family very well, heard many, many stories about the difficulties. They didn't speak about it so much on the video. There's a limit to what they could say, but the difficulties. There was and not liking it, and wanting to go home, and it wasn't working out, and so on and so forth. And a person who stuck it through, heard the Divrei Chizik, didn't give up, and became somebody massive. For anyone, again, obviously, Lo Aleinu, the tzaros that he had later on in life with a very, very difficult disease, that's like a whole different pressure. But even before those things, how great somebody became in learning just because they tried and they worked, and they didn't believe all the people around them who said, you can't do it, and they didn't believe all the message of the society saying, well, you're never really going to become anything, and kids from Chicago don't become Gedolei Yisrael, like that. Or even if they didn't put that on the bulletin board, and they didn't, at the graduation from Ida Crown, they didn't say, oh, by the way, guys, you're never going to become Gedolei. Let's assume for a second that they didn't say that, and probably no one ever said that verbally to us either. But there's a lot of like unspoken things that exist in the world, unspoken like beliefs and unspoken feelings that are there. And to be able to say, you know what, I don't know who I am. I am, as the yearbook said, undecided in life. But eventually a person's able to make a decision and dedicate himself, work, and become somebody great. There's certainly stories like that. And well, first of all, let's move a little, I don't know if it's backwards or forwards, but even in our time, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, okay, I don't mind saying this in public, and it's certainly something that's important to remember. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, who's looked at today as one of the greatest bucky in learning in the world, etc. Everyone is banging down his door, literally banging down his door, to be able to get a couple of moments to talk, to see, and so on and so forth. It's true in his case, he actually was the son of the Stipler, one of the famous Gedolim of the last generation. Reb Chaim Kanievsky was not known as someone who was a genius, was not so known when he was younger as someone who was great in learning and a deep person and a lamdan and any of those things. Reb Chaim Kanievsky had his own really, I hate to say it, but like interesting way of learning, different than everybody else, and he liked to take things simple and just like read the Gemara like again and again, and he wasn't necessarily mechadish chidush from anything that was deep, but he always told himself, if I don't get it this time, so maybe I'll get it next time. If I have a problem, I'll get it next time. And there was a time, and I know people that are older than him who knew him that back and then, that people used to laugh at him in Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim. Oh, the stipler's son, this kid who just sits there. And again, he was a little bit removed from worldly things. He wasn't like a cool guy either, but he used to sit in the basement, and he can read, and like when people would ask him questions or things like that, he wasn't known as someone like, wow, this guy knows everything. But he kept on going and going and going and going, and eventually someone who just kept on going and going and going and reading it again and again and again and again and again, and again, walked away accomplishing what sounds like the almost uncomplishable. He learned every sefer that's out there, has it all committed to memory, not because he has a good memory, but because he works hard at things, and And tries and cares, and again is an example for us to be able to look at and see what someone can accomplish through, just again, through hard work, taking it at a pace that you can take it at. And again, today he's on paces that no one can do, right? To be able to learn Shas Bavli, Yerushalmi, Shulchan Aruch, Rambam's, all of the Midrashim, etc., every single year, right? Before Nates, like that, right? That's like his morning prep, get ready for davening at Nates Seder, like that, and learning starts the rest of the day. So that's obviously like, okay, like I can't do that, fine. And it's fair to say, like right now, yeah, we probably can't do that. But that wasn't happening when he was younger. And he himself said, when he first was Makabel, he tried to do that, it was hard, and he almost like failed, like it wasn't working. And little by little, he himself added more things onto his schedule. And these are things that we hear, the Nitziv, right? Everyone's heard of the Nitziv before, the great Nitziv. Nitziv had a very, very similar story. When he was not being Matzliach in Yeshiva, when he was learning, his parents were ready to pull him out, and that's it, and why, quote unquote, waste your time and our time, and all of that. And right before he left, he had a famous dream where he felt funny about like leaving Yeshiva, wasn't like totally happy about doing that. Some people are like happy to be dropouts. He wasn't so happy about that prospect. Had a famous dream where he was shown like what it's going to be like to go up to Shemayim and stand in front of the Kisei HaKavod. Where do you go? Right there. The up elevator, the down escalator, and whatever goes faster, whatever is up or down. And he was told, there was a whole diyun going on, and they decided that he was a rotzeach, a murderer, and you're going down. What are you talking about? So they gave him an example. He took off a whole thing of svarim from a bookshelf, and they said, let's open these things up. Do you recognize this name? Right? And he looked at the cover of the sefer and saw Natali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin inside, and said, yeah. He said, well, this is a mechaber svarim, a Rosh Hashiva, a great person, and you killed him. That sounds like what me, like, you know, saying I don't want to kill anybody. So like, you don't go shooting Rosh Yeshiva. That sounds like a little weird, you know, thing, psycho thing to do. And they said, yeah, but this is your name is on, because you could have, you will and could be somebody like that. But if you leave and you don't give yourself a chance, then that's not going to happen. Maybe you should like try a little harder. Maybe you should work at it a little bit more. Maybe you should care and push a little bit. And went back to his parents and said, like, one more try, like, can you know, whatever it is, like, something tells me I might be able to, like, pull it again. We don't have dreams necessarily every single night, and if we do, we might want to, like, you know, check with our, either a BAME or a psychologist, is that, like, a real, like, thing. We don't necessarily, like, trip out and have these, like, little things where a Kaddish Baruch Hu comes to us and says, hey, bud, like, you should work a little harder. So we hear it in Sfarim. We hear people talk to us. Ideas, a shmuz, something that we learn. But realize that these things are real. The Nitziv became the Nitziv. Bimkom becoming a dropout and stopping in the middle, and became the Rosh Yeshiva of the Velazhen Yeshiva, the father-in-law of Reb Chaim, grandfather-in-law of Reb Chaim Brisker, a major, again, it's Pirushim and Chumash, and the Silas and Chubas, the Rami Sadeh on Shas, and so on and so forth. Why? Because he worked at it. He tried, and even when he was older, and Siv was not looked at as the lightning mind of the Velazhen Yeshiva, people and he worked, Reb Shimon Shkop, who was a very, very famous Lamdin, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Grodno Yeshiva, a very, very famous Lamda. And if you don't know Rosh Shimon yet, you certainly will soon. In Volozhin at his time, so there was a little bit of a machlokas about between two of the leaders of the Yeshiva. Leave out the names. One was the Nitziv, and the more popular one that the guys who were really into learning went to was the other Yeshiva. Rosh Shimon Shkop, who was known as like one of the big guns in the Yeshiva, at a close keshe with him. So someone once asked him, like, Reb Shimon, like, you're like the kind of guy that should be like, but the other Rebbe, like, not like, you know, like, okay. So he said, I'm going to tell you a simple story, why it's so important for me to be connected to the Nitziv. I once had a keshe on a Rashba, something I mamish couldn't figure out, and it bothered me weeks. I've been reading it over, thinking about it, they're talking about it, and something wasn't working out for me. So I went to the Nitziv, and I asked him the keshe, and he gave me back a tarot. Like that, and I was like, wow, like unbelievable. Where did that come from? And Nitziv said, listen, Chudos is very, very hard. I also had this problem with the Rashba that you're asking now. And for 40 days, I went through Tanios, I fasted. I would walk every day from the yeshiva down the hill in Velazhen to where the sim. I went to Reb Chaim Velazhen to his kever, and I would daven very hard at some schus of somebody that I should figure out what was going on. And eventually, like, you know, after trying and trying and davening and crying and really working at it. So this is what came to me. Shimon said that's a person who went on, like someone who tries, who didn't come natural, it wasn't easy, but he worked at it, he cared, there was sweat, there was tears, there was a real effort. That's already something that, you know, that we want to look at. So the message was, don't sell yourself short. The person shouldn't be saying to himself, oh, I'm just a guy. I'm just a this. Again, it sounds like running a little bit late over here, but you think we'll only stop late after morning Seder. But the idea that there were, again, just to name the names of people in our generation, whether it was Reb Nosson Tzvi, whether it was the famous of Scheinberg, you've all heard his name, it came from also that kind of background. The gift of the great Talzer Sheep was also a public school kid from some place in Virginia like that, not even from New York, and all of that. But the people who became like big and major in Claudius, so because they didn't listen to everybody else, they rebelled against society, and being a holy rebel is something that's a good thing to do at times, and be able to say, you know what, I'm going to work, I'm going to accomplish, I can do it, like that. And that's what it called. A little bit of something we need to be thinking about. Until next time, Be'ezer Hashem.